So in the latest of our series of legal podcasts with our advertisers and family law solicitors here in St Albans, today I'm talking to Che Meekins, and he is from Raydon Solicitors, and we're talking about grandparents. And Che, going to start off with the easiest one. What rights do grandparents actually have?
Okay, well, grandparents are not actually afforded any specific special rights or status. So this is under the Children Act of 1989, which is the core legislation dealing with applications in respect of children. Grandparents will be classified as a relative, so to differentiate them from parents. So they don't have any special rights or status. However, under the Children Act, they can make an application to spend time with children, or in some circumstances they might be able to apply to have a child live with them. So apply for those kind of arrangements for children. But unless certain criteria are met, they would normally have to make a separate application, sort of a preliminary application to the court for permission to apply. So or what we call illegal to leave to apply for what's called a child arrangements order.
So how would they go about enforcing those rights?
So in some circumstances, a child might have been living with a grandparent already. So if they've been living with that grandparent for at least a year prior to the application, then there's no requirement to apply for permission. If they've been living with that grandparent for 3 out of the previous 5 years, and the last time they lived with them was within the last 3 months, again, they may not need to apply for permission. So they can go straight to court and make an application for this child, what's called a child arrangements order, you know, and get those arrangements sort of formalised. So I suppose that from a strictly sort of legal perspective, that's their enforcement, those are those enforcement rights.
If the child's parents have separated or one of the child's parents has passed away, does that change things? Does that make the situation different?
So in the case of parents separating, it's perhaps going back a little bit. I mean, most of these circumstances where a grandparent makes these applications will usually be in the context of parents having separated. I mean, I suppose there could be a situation where a grandparent's been alienated by both parents or something like that. But yeah, usually there's separation, and so they would, perhaps the child lives with the mother most of the time, and the paternal grandmother may have been, you know, as a result of the separation, you know that the mother may no longer be happy for the child to spend time with that paternal grandmother, and he or she may have to make that application.
So in that kind of situation, sometimes the grandparents can get denied access to their grandchildren, can't they? So have you got any advice in dealing with those kind of situations?
What usually happens in reality is that, well, the situations I've had is where, you know, there's a separation between the parents, and a grandparent will tend to fund or, you know, be in the background trying to assist one of the parties in making an application for a child arrangements order. So they won't actually be part of the application as a party. But perhaps a situation I've had is where a grandmother was helping her son with funding his case. He hadn't seen his little boy for, you know, a couple of years or so, quite a long time. And so she was, I think she'd been allowed to perhaps see the boy once or twice at a cafe for an hour or two here and there. But she was obviously really, you know, heartbroken, and she'd spent a lot of time with this little boy. And, you know, she wanted to help her son. I mean, her primary was to get the contact back for her son, for the father. But she ended up funding the case to try and achieve that. So that's often how it, you know, happens, which means that actually there are actually relatively, there's not much case law. I think the last case law was around, I think, back in 2009. So, you know, not many cases come about to do with grandparent issues. And there's not much guidance online about it, because, you know, usually they get resolved. What usually happens is the parents will eventually resolve any disputes that might exist over the, you know, in relation to the children. And then when that child spends time with, you know, the parents, they'll also spend time with the grandparents. But I suppose, you know, there's lots of different scenarios. And so the grandparent might have to be proactive. Or say, like you were saying earlier, perhaps, you know, one of the parents is deceased, no longer around. So, you know, say a father has died, but, you know, the mother and the paternal grandmother don't get on, or there'd been some kind of disputes before that. They might then be alienated slowly. And so then there's an onus on that, the paternal grandmother in that example, to be proactive and perhaps make an application. I suppose the difficulty is, you know, then you have to start looking at the child and what's in their best interests. I mean, that's the key for the court, is always going back to looking, well, what is in that child's best interest? And obviously, if there is acrimony, if there's, if you know, in the example again, the mother and potentially the paternal grandmother don't get on, then there's going to be a question mark over whether, you know, ordering some form of contact is actually in the child's best interests, because it might cause some issues in terms of their, you know, that child's well-being, you know, emotional well-being. So those sort of things have to be considered and looked at.
Do they get consulted as to whether they want that bond with the grandparents?
Yep. So it would always depend on the age of the children and whether it's appropriate to, I suppose, the older the child gets, the more the court will look to and engage with that child's wishes and feelings. And the younger the child, it may not be possible to get a good idea of that child. You know, how do you interview a child? Now, then what you have is the court, if there is a court application, you have things like, you have the CAFCAS, which is the court, appointed officer that will report back to the judge and first of all interview the grandparents, interview the parents or anyone with parental responsibility, or even in some circumstances maybe the local authority if they have care, so they'll interview them, and then they will look to sort of interview the child, and that will be depending on the age, different settings through play or something like that, and try to figure out what the relationship is between that child. The younger the child, what the court will want to do is to take evidence from the grandparents and the parents to find out what the actual relationship has been, because that's not something a child will necessarily be able to express or give real details about. But if there's been constant contact, or if, you know, over the last few years, the grandparents been, you know, I was thinking earlier, you know, a situation maybe where a grandparent has been providing childcare for one of the parents, and then suddenly because of a separation, one of the parents no longer wants that childcare to happen and find someone else. But of course, that would have been contact that's been happening every week on a regular basis. And that involvement by the grandparents in a child's life has become really important to the child. Yeah. You know, if they're young, they will often have a really positive and a different kind of relationship than they would with a parent or someone else. It's quite a special relationship usually. That they really value. So the court will look to that, and that, you know, they can get some of that from the child, but if they're very young, not necessarily. And so the court will then that's where the court, you know, comes into its own as such and steps in and will actively make orders to promote that relationship, ensure that if there has been an involvement from a young age, say between, you know, to the ages, the first early years, to make sure that the parents continue promoting, or a parent, as it will usually be the case, continues promoting that relationship and making space for it. And also, I mean, this is a slight aside, but there's also things like, I mean, we know anecdotally that the time that children spend with grandparents is very good for the grandparent. Now, that's not the court's duty, but I wonder to the extent which that becomes potentially a factor in the back of the judge's mind, I don't know. There's a lot of anecdotal research and things, I've seen things on TV about that recently, which, you know, if nothing at all, just show how important that relationship between a child and a grandparent can be to both the child and the grandparent.
Absolutely. It's an incredibly special relationship. If we do have grandparents listening to this interview and they are looking for help, they're dealing with these issues now, what would you suggest would be their best course of action? Where would you signpost them to get some help or to find out some more information?
You know, as I said at the start, there's lots of different people. You know, this is one of those situations where people are going to be in have different circumstances. Mm. And so I'm sure, you know, people always want to avoid the legal costs, but it is one of those situations where I think it is worth a chat. Even if it's an initial chat, we often do that, talk to people on the phone for 20 minutes or so. And, you know, you might get a good idea of whether you've got a case or not, but otherwise we do, you know, like initial meetings, and to really sort of, you know, figure out what the legal route is. And that doesn't mean you pursue the legal route, but it is one of those, that's one step. I think getting some legal advice and sort of exploring the situation, you know, not just the issues, but whether you've got grounds, I suppose. The grandparent may feel they've been alienated or pushed out and they're not sure what recourse they have legally to resolve that. So a discussion before then approaching that parent. And then, of course, there are the alternative dispute resolution, which, you know, is going to be things like mediation. And so that can be mediation with, this is after having tried potentially a discussion, approaching the parent directly, which is always a good first step, after or before having got some legal advice. But then, you know, things like mediation can work, so suggesting that. And that can be mediation between the grandparent and the parent, or parents, or whoever else has parental responsibility or has care of the child. There can be things like a whole family mediation as well. And I think this is quite rarely used, but I think this is one of those situations that could be, you know, the children are a bit older, they may be able to be involved. You can have the grandparent and the parents, you know, and that could work really well. Mm. Some sort of whole family mediation session to just, you know, talk things through, which, you know, because of the separation of whatever, may no longer, everyone forgets that that's actually possible.
It's a very subjective, emotional subject, isn't it? So sometimes it needs people like you guys that can be a little bit more objective and stand aside and give that advice in that objective but caring atmosphere.
I agree. And, you know, if there is acrimony, the court is going to be nervous about making orders, which can lead to some form of, you know, emotional impact on the child. And so this is another key thing, is to make sure that if there is a dispute ongoing, there's separation happening, maybe it's at that point to step back, because the initial reaction of any parent, if a grandparent starts to get involved, is they're going to be partisan to their son or to their daughter, you know. And so, and that's something the court will also want to avoid. And so you know, in any application or in any kind of approach, let's put it that way, whether it's a direct discussion, it's about trying to avoid that part, you know, being partisan and making sure that keeping focused on the child, who carry on offering the child care, or, you know, I have been seeing this child every week and we have a relationship, and, you know, that should, you know, how can we make sure that carries on? And I'll do that without taking sides. I won't talk about the separation. I won't talk about the issues. So there are so many different variations, but those are the sort of things to think about. They sound the more soft touch kind of skills, aren't they? Approach initially.
Very much so. Fascinating to talk to you, Che. It is a very emotional subject, grandparents' rights. So I'm hoping that that's given our listeners some food for thought this afternoon. Thank you very much.
So you were asking me about case law. There hasn't been case law for quite a few years, but one of the things that has come out of case law is this: the general presumption that a child should live with their natural parents is no longer exists. And so if there were a situation where it was considered that a child's best interests were better met by living with a grandparent rather than with parents, and that can happen, it has happened in recent years, especially with local authority cases, then that can happen. And the other thing is, the age of a grandparent rarely comes into consideration, whereas before, perhaps, you know, parents were having children when they were much younger, and so maybe the age of a grandparent might be looked at. Actually, people are living much longer generally, and so grandparents might be in their 70s who may want to have contact or have children live with them is not necessarily going to be a barrier